And I want to stay in the center of God's will. They've been folks who's got out of the center of God's will. And I have gotten out of the center of God's will before. And I hopefully you haven't, but I'm afraid that you probably have been out of the center of God's will. And there is a permissive will of God, and then there is the perfect center of God's will. There's things that we'll do in life that we want to do that will bring opportunity and challenges to the gospel of Christ, and that is just the permissive will of God. Amen. But then there is the center, the very focused tension of God's will for our life. And in Jonah, the second chapter, I'll read just a few verses tonight and go through this with you very quickly. But in the second chapter, the will of God. And I want you to know something. In the will of God, people do suffer, Brother Brian. You know, if we go on the will of God tonight, being, if you're in the will of God, you'll drive a new Cadillac, you'll live in a $100,000 home, you'll buy a 3-piece suit that'll cost $700 and $250 shoes. If you're looking at that being the will of God, the Bible speaks against that. It calls it self-gain. And there's nothing wrong with wearing all those things if you can afford to buy them, and that's your business if you want to. But I'm talking about the will of God. Amen. I'm talking about the will of God tonight. The will of God. Jonah. You know the story. Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh, and he bought him a boat ticket to Tarshish. And when he got on the ship, he was running from the will, the perfect will of God. Amen. And Jonah said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go down there. I don't care nothing about the people there. You got to remember, Nineveh was a heathen nation. Amen. It was a small island. It was a small place. And it wasn't no big popular place. And Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. But Jonah bought him a boat ticket and he went to Tarshish. And he started toward Tarshish. And on the way to Tarshish, things got bad. And if you didn't know the difference in the presence of God and the Spirit of God, and I want to say this tonight to each one of you that are here tonight, there's nobody knows the will of God for you like you do. Amen. I've had folks tell me it was God's will for me to move south and to move north and to go east and to go west. But I know the will of God for me. Amen. And that's what makes a difference tonight. And if you didn't know, amen, and Jonah would have been a type of a person that would have not just been fleeing from God, you might have thought he was in the will of God with the powers of the forces of the tempest, of the waves of beating against the ship, and the helm of the ship being tortured, and the men on the ship throwing things overboard, and things beginning to happen very bad. Jonah could have laid down there and crossed his arms and said, I'm telling you, the devil's out to get us, amen, for I am in the will of God. And that's the way that we look at things a lot of times. But I want you to know something tonight. It's not how you're being fought or what's happening in your life that's dedicated to the will of God. It's what you know in your heart and where you've been with God that's going to tell you the will of God for your life. Amen. Jonah went down and he went in the belly of a ship and he went to sleep. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you're in the will of God and the powers and the tempest of this world is coming against you, you just can't sleep, amen. You can't fold your arms. My mama used to say to my dad, Woodrow, I believe you could sleep if the world was falling apart. And my dad would simply reply, Mildred, it wouldn't do me a bit of good in the world a bit of good if I'd get all excited about it. And that's the way some folks are. They can sleep through things. They can ignore things. I envy my wife. She can lay down and bam, she's gone. I don't care. She just got up. She can lay down and bam, she's gone. And I tell her, I said, honey, you're the only woman I know that can get up at 10 or 8 and lay down at 10 and take a nap. and go back and eat your dinner and lunch and go back at 12 and lay down and rest and get up at supper time and fix supper. And you're looking at me real funny. But fix supper. And after you fix supper, go back in and fold your arms in the lazy boy. And before you know it, there's a subtle noise coming out of that chair. And it ain't from the creaking springs. Amen. It's from her sleeping. I said, I envy you, sister. I envy you. I can lay down at 9 and my mind's are running 1,000 miles an hour, and I'm thinking of all the things I didn't get done today. And when I get done thinking about all those things I didn't get done today, I start thinking about where I'm going to do them tomorrow and how I'm going to do them tomorrow. And before I know it, I look over and it's 3:30 and I got to get up at 6:30, and I'm thinking, oh God, help me get to sleep. Help me. Show me, God. Help me, Lord. Touch me, Jesus. Listen, friend, the will of God doesn't mean that you're going to be at peace all the time. It doesn't mean you're going to be flawed all the time. I tell you what the will of God means. It means you know the direction. You set your head toward that place, and God is touching your life, and you are satisfied with what God's doing with you. That's right. That's the will of God. Huh? When things are looking down, you're sad, but you're still saying, God, you've directed my steps. You've ordered me to this place. You've helped me here, God. Huh? I walked out of the house one night. My little girl ran a temperature of 103. And I thought I'd call the place I was supposed to preach at night and tell them I wouldn't be there before I ever started pastoring. And when the brother called me, he said, I was praying. God spoke to my heart. Told me to tell you to come next Wednesday night and preach for us. And when he told me, I felt the presence of God touch me and touch my life. And I said, I'll be there. Lord's will, I will be there. And that Wednesday night, my little girl got sicker and sicker and sicker. And I felt her head, and it was blazing hot. And my wife was soaking her down with cold rags. And I said, well, maybe I'll just call the brother and tell him I won't be there. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I ain't always preached for people with 200 and 300 people. And if you'd been with me this week, you'd have saw I preached for 16. I preached for 6. I preached for 420. Amen. It don't matter the size. Knowing the will of God is all that really matters in your life. Sister Mary said, I hope you got your feel. When I hit 270 and went around to 71, I could have stopped at White Castle and got me a hamburger and come home, and I had my feel. Amen. But I knew I had to go. I had a purpose, a direction, and I'm telling you what, I'm as glad to be, you could, probably can't tell it, but I'm as glad to be home tonight as anybody ever thought of. I dreamed about this church. I woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep, thinking, oh God, how's this one? What's that one doing? How's Brother Aaron's back? How's Brother Davis's heart? God, I'd call home and check. I want you to know something. The only thing that keeps me functioning and keeps me driving and keeps me pushing is knowing this, that the will of God is for me to go on and preach the gospel and bring good tidings to those that are lost and undone without God. Amen. Man, I'd travel 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 miles to see one soul saved. That's my whole life's desire. When they told me that Brother Scott Bentley had gotten saved Sunday morning, I thought AT&T would probably send somebody with a white suit. Amen. I was rejoicing in the Lord. My heart is, we've been praying for that boy and seeking God that God would convict him and bring him back to an altar of prayer. And friend, when God does things, listen to me tonight. You're not here tonight by coincidence. You're not here tonight because you didn't have anything else that you could have been doing. You're here tonight because God has ordered your steps and directed you to the house of God. Jonah said, then prayed I unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. After they throwed everything overboard that they could throw overboard, and the fishes and the ship was still being battered and torn. Amen. The captain went down. He said, man, don't you see what kind of condition we're in, what kind of circumstances we're under? He said, get up and pray to your God. Jonah said, there ain't no need. There ain't no use of me getting up and praying. He said, I can tell you right now what's wrong with you all. Me. Amen. I'm what's wrong with you all. Amen. You ever heard that saying? Ain't nobody miserable with you like I am. Amen. I mean, Jonah's saying, ain't nobody as miserable with you as I am. Amen. They sometimes, when we just got to get ourselves focused in the right direction before we can see God move in our lives. Jonah said, I'll tell you, I'm your problem. Throw me overboard. Huh? Throw me and cast me down. Cast me overboard. The Bible teaches me when they throw Jonah overboard, the seas calm. Things begin to tranquility come into the ship. Peace and joy and delightfulness came back into the ship. Amen. I think sometimes people say, and I know they, and not that I know of nobody said this here, at least in the last year, I don't think, or 6 months or 8 months, but I've heard people say, well, maybe I just don't belong. Maybe I just be better off somewhere else. Maybe I'm just out of the will of God here. Ain't nobody knows that but you. Amen. There ain't nobody can tell you that but you. Amen. Unless the Spirit of God moves, unless the Holy Ghost moves, unless the power from heaven falls in this place like it did some years ago. And I'll use Brother Arby, amen. He ain't here tonight, and Sister Diane is. And she didn't want to go to date, or to Dayton, I don't believe. And down around there, she might have seen the advantages to certain things. And Brother Arby, I believe it. Brother Arby's my bestest friend in the world. Amen. But I thought my bestest friend was getting ready to make the baddest move that he'd ever made. But it wasn't me to tell my best friend that. It wasn't up to me to tell him what he was going to do. You see, a lot of times, if we begin to tell folks what's bad for them and what's wrong for them, the devil begins to tell them other things, and they are driven right on in to what they think is best for them. I've seen people make moves, and I knew in my heart that it wasn't the right move for them to make, but I did not have the okay or the authority or the unction of God to speak a word. Amen. And maybe God is just trying to show. And maybe God knew their hard-headedness and their stiff-neckedness. I've seen people leave this church and say, I'm going to live the same standard that I've always lived. But 6-8 months down the road, you see their standards begin to fall and decline. And you think, oh God. But listen, they'll have to stand in judgment for that. Not me, not you. They'll have to stand for that. Friend, I'm telling you tonight that the will of God is the uttermost important thing that you'll ever have in your life outside of salvation. Amen. That's right. And I'm going to tell you this. Whether it's my boy or my girl or my mom or my dad or my sister-in-laws or brother-in-laws or my children or whoever it is. Amen. I'll tell them the will of God is what you want to be in. The will of God is what you have to be in. And when you begin to fall from the Word of God, you're not in the will of God. You hear me tonight? Look at me, folks. I said, when you fall from the will of God, you're not in the Word of God. And when you begin to decline from the Word of God, you're not in the will of God. It goes hand in hand. You're not going to fall backwards and go out into sin and dibble-dabble and this and that and say what you once was. You now are the same. You can't do it. Amen. Well, I'm other than some preachers. I don't care if you shout me down or not, as long as I know what I'm preaching is the truth. Hey, man, if you guys sit on the seat, buckle up, harnesses on, helmets, hey, man, shade glasses, build big fences around you, I'm going to preach the gospel, amen. I just say, buckle up, baby. We're in for a ride, amen. The will of God is the most important thing that you'll ever find after you're saved. I tell on Brother Jerry Kazee, he said, man, if they ain't shouting, I feel like they ain't with me. I said, I don't care if they shout or not. As long as I feel that unction of the Holy Ghost of heaven. You can sit there and blow bubbles, I'll pop them, amen. I'm going to preach the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God.
I've had them ask me to leave, and I shouted and spoke in tongues on the way out the door. Not that I wanted to, but just that I knew the will of God. Just I knew the power of God. My God! When are we going to get over looking at their faces, Jeremiah, and see them where they're at, and preach the gospel? Paul said, be a sin in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, all with long suffering.
With what?
Long suffering. Uh-huh. Long suffering. And everybody knows what the church needs but God. Hallelujah. Everybody knows how to tell the church what it needs but God. Huh? Everybody wants something changed but God. Everybody wants something different but God. Everybody wants to see it done another way but God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's showing me and you and all of us alike that we're never content with what God's blessed us with.
Some biting their lips. Some looking down nervous. And some just ain't doing nothing. What's he going to do next? He's crazy. I was crazy before I left here. I'm still crazy. Amen. I'm crazy about the Lord. I'm crazy about the will of God. I'm crazy about what God's doing for this church. Amen. Not another church in the world have I ever seen God in my life move and touch like He has this church. Not a ton of another church in the country have I ever seen God perform like He has in this church. Hey man, it is something. People just walk in, the power of God falls. People get saved. Huh? When you come from places where nobody's been saved for 6 and 8 years, and people are crying dry tears, saying, I wish God would move. Brother Brian, what's wrong with us? Can't we open our eyes and literally see what God has done?
Where we at, Brother Aaron? We're not in Africa. We're not in the Congo. We're not overseas in Russia. We're not in the Philippines. We're not in Guatemala. We're right here in Columbus, Ohio. And God has done great and miraculous things for this body of people and performed miracle after miracle after miracle. And then we shake our heads sometimes and say, I think it needs to be done this way. I think it needs to be done that way. My God, Brother Steve, we're going to look at the book and say, God, keep us on track.
I'm tickled to death. Jonah said, out of the fish's belly, I cried unto the Lord. Verse 2 says, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. Huh? And He heard me. He heard him. He's out of the will of God. He's down in the depths of the sea. He's been cast overboard. And God heard him. Popular, what is that saying? Unbelieving, unbeknowing, popular belief. God still heals people, still touches people, still lifts people. That's out of the will of God. Only when He wants to come back. Oh my, what are you saying, preacher? Let me tell you something. Let me read on just for a minute. For thou, listen what He said. And the Lord, and He heard me out of the belly of hell. You know what? You know what the belly of hell was? And some of you men, listen to me real close. I want you to put your ear up here and listen to me. When Abraham's wife, Sarah, called him Lord, she wasn't meaning that you are the most popular person in the world. She was meaning that you are the head of this house.
Right.
You are Lord, Abraham. Right. You know why he was Lord? I'll tell you why he was Lord. Because Sarah said he could be. Sarah said, Abraham, you can be Lord.
You know why she told him he could be Lord? I'll tell you why. Because she had saw him pray. She had saw him blessed. She had saw him moved. She had saw him touched. She had saw God move miraculously in Abraham's life. I'm telling you why a lot of women don't call their men Lord is because they can't get them to do anything. They can't get them to pray. They can't get them to seek God. They can't get them to follow the hand of God. You say, that's right. Abraham was rich, but his nephew Lot got took captive. He faced famines. He faced plagues, but he was still Sarah's Lord. Anytime you ever saw somebody meet an angel, they called them Lord. That expression was giving them okay and authority to tell them whatever they want to tell them and to be to them over them. Amen. It wasn't meaning that she was a dog. Huh? When you boys want a sandwich and say, you ought to be like Abraham's wife, Sarah, and call me Lord when I tell you go get a sandwich. Just look back at your husband. Oh, no, don't do that. Just say, I praise you, I love you, and I thank you. I don't give nobody no fire because some of these women don't need much. All they need is the head of the match. They'll make it burn. Amen. But I was going to say, look back at them and say, when you start praying like Abraham prayed and following God like Abraham followed God, I'll do what you want done then. But don't do that. Don't holler, amen. Don't do that at all. Listen to me. We need to follow the direction of heaven. The Word of God is number one. Word of God is number one. Number two is your heart has a lot to play in this. Your heart's condition. Where are you at with God tonight? I thought about Samuel when Samuel was down there and Samuel got caught up in foolishness, nonsense, and ungodliness, and he looked down there and he wanted a wife. And his mom and dad wanted to pick somebody. And he wanted what he wanted. You know? And Samuel picked him a woman. And he went after her. Her name was Delilah. Amen. 7 times Samson laid his head in the lap of Delilah. And I want you men to know I am a man. I have nothing against you all. I like us. Amen. I'm on our team. We're the red team. The women's the blue team. I choose to be on the red team. But how come is it that when the Lord spoke to Adam and told him not to partake of any of the trees in the garden, hey man, or to partake of all the trees in the garden except the one in the center of the garden. And sure enough, as soon as Adam got caught up in the midst of what he'd done wrong, what did he do? My wife beat out that woman, God, that you gave me. Huh? I literally do not believe that one time only, did Adam's wife Eve say, will you take this? I believe it was a continual thing. She kept on and on and on and on. Will you do this? Will you take this? Will you eat this? Come on now, will you? I preach on Missy because I know I can. Amen. She's a whiner. Ain't you, Missy? Are you going, amen? Come on now. She's a whiner. Simon, I want something. I'm hungry. Ain't nothing here to pay. Go, Simon, give me something, Simon. Come on, Simon. I mean, she is a whiner. She'll do that, won't she? You ain't no idiot, man. You know what you're doing. Ain't you, Missy? You'll admit to it, won't you, honey? You know what you're doing. She knows. Hey, man, she knows how to do that. I mean, just like Tina. Jerry? Hey, you know Jerry. Jerry got to Jerry. You know, and every woman has that intuition, that way of getting us and pulling at us and tearing at us. Some of you men are laughing. You know how? You know how it is. You know exactly how it is. But I'll tell you what. He'd already heard the same voice that she had heard. He didn't have to give in. He didn't have to do it. Samson had already took the gates of the city. He'd already slew, 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass. He'd already came back and drank out of that same jawbone and knew that God was still God. And he laid his head down not one time, but he laid his head down 7 times. And every time as he got up, every single time, she said, "Show me. You don't love me. Tell me. Come on now. Wherein does thy great strength lie?" And he 7 times she did that to him. And finally he got tired and he yielded over. A great strong man. A great strengthly man. But she would. And one time too many, he shook himself. And the Spirit of God left him, and he wist not where it went. And his head was shaved. And she said, "Samson, the Philistines be upon you." And he rose, and the Bible said he shook himself as he did all the other times. But this time, they grabbed Samson like a little child. They tied his hands, and he couldn't do anything about it. And he plucked his eyes out and he took him down to grind in the mill like a mule. And he pushed that big stone, that big wheel, and he grinded day after day after day. I want you to listen to something here, what Jonah said. Jonah said this, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods can pass me about. All thy billows and thy waves pass over me." Jonah was watching all these things happen. Jonah was seeing everything. But I'll tell you what Jonah was doing. He said just a verse above that, he said, "I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard me." Listen to me. God heard him crying. God accepted his prayer out of that fish's belly, out of the depths of the sea. And then verse 4, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Lord, I can't see you. God, I can't see you. And you won't see me." I'm going to tell you something. Hell's going to be hell regardless. Regardless, hell's going to be hell. But I think one of the worst things for us that have been touched and saved by the hand of God in hell is going to be knowing that we'll never see Him or touch Him or be felt of His presence in our souls. Listen to me. By a lot of theories, a lot of people think that there's different degrees of torture in hell. And there's many commentaries that will teach you that there's different degrees of torture in hell. But I believe hell is just hell. I believe it's a literal lake of fire that burns. And the fire and the brimstone is burning forever. And I literally believe that when the rich man was cast down into hell, Brother Brian, and there he looked up into heaven, and he saw Father Abraham, amen, and he saw Lazarus in his bosom. Hey, Father Abraham being God and being a type of God, and Lazarus being the man that died, the beggar that died, he saw him up there in heaven with God. And you know what he said? He said, "Father Abraham," he said, "let Lazarus come back and dip his finger in a cup of water to cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Right. This same beggar that he wouldn't even want at his gate, that the dogs had licked his sores, that he would not even give him a morsel of bread, a crumb of bread. You listen to me tonight. You may think you've got problems. You may think you've got troubles. You may think you've got heartaches. But if you go to hell, you're going to be tormented for eternity. He said, "Send him back." Abraham, Father Abraham said, "I can't send him back. For between you and me, there's fixed a great gulf." And he said, "So that no one can cross backwards and forth." You listen to me tonight. You don't have to believe this. And that's your own opinion if you want to or not. But I believe in hell, you have free reign to walk around. Because there'll be nothing but torment wherever you go. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't think you'll be chained to a wall and fire being poked at you. I think you'll be walking in it day and night. you be thinking about everything that you've ever done, how you've ever done it, how you did it wrong, how you was convicted of God, how you should have did it right, how you should have prayed, how you should have sought God, how God dealt with your heart when you was doing it. You'll think of all those things. And the sinner, the man or woman that's never known God. Now I use the example, we had a church in Shadeville right across the road from a bar room. And Earl Bush lived over there, and he was an alcoholic and still is. And Earl Bush is in his probably early 70s now, Brother Roy, if I'm not wrong, somewhere in there. But he's never been saved, never known how to pray, never prayed a prayer, never asked God to save him. I'm going to tell you something, Earl Bush in hell will be better off than any backslider ever thought about being. Because by unbelieving things that he did not do, it'll send him to hell. But worse than that, you listen to me. There's not 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit over here and 142,000 degrees Fahrenheit over here. There's not a pain. You know, some people say, well, you know, but listen to me. Woe be unto you Pharisees, you scribes, and you hypocrites. Woe be unto you church people. And those that's been saved and backslid on God and lost out with God. For greater shall be your condemnation. For greater shall be your condemnation. I'm going to tell you something. Ain't never been a millionaire, Brother Roy. Ain't never been a million. Ain't even ever touched $1 million, Brother Steve. Think $50,000 I had in my hand one time and I had to throw it back to the guy. $50,000 is as close as I've ever been to anything. Well, I take it back. I'm talking about cash dollars. I've held a $97,000 check, but I ain't never felt nothing like $50,000 in cash money laying in my arms. Manuel, throw it in my van window and say, you take the money, preacher. You take the money. I say, Manuel, I don't want your money. I don't want your money. That's another story at another time. But anyways, it's this. I don't know what it is. What do you think the men on Wall Street jumped out the windows? Because they lost the millions. They lost everything they had. They lost the billions of dollars, the millions of dollars. I don't know nothing about it. If somebody walked in tonight and said, somebody just burned $1 million, I'd say, man, that's a shame. But you let a millionaire that somebody stole that $1 million from, let it see it being burnt, that man will literally almost die for that dollar. And in hell, we that are saved and been born again. And I want you to know something. This theory of once saved, always saved, garbage.
Right.
Garbage.
Preach.
I know when I'm right and I know when I'm wrong.
Sure.
You hear me?
Right.
I am saved, Brother Solomon. I'm born again. I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you let me go out here and you let me grab me a fifth of whiskey and start drinking, chasing women, doing things. I know I ain't doing right. I know I'm not doing it. I know that's sin. And to him to know it, to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what?
Sin.
It's sin.
Sin.
And the Bible teaches me in one portion of chapter and verse that no sin's going to enter into heaven.
Right.
Now how am I going to get there? By saying I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Amen. Just saying I'm saved is not going to get me in the throne room of grace. Amen. I may stumble. I may fall. I may make mistakes. I get up, ask God to forgive me and go on and try not to do that same thing over again. But let me tell you this. Those that are saved and bought by the blood, Sister Step, we know when we're saved. You don't have to walk up to me and say, you're saved, ain't you? I was eating in a restaurant. Down around Dalton, Georgia. One walked up and said, you're a preacher, ain't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, I could just tell it. I could just tell it. I'm glad she could. I am honored that she could.
Right.
I said, I'm honored that you could, ma'am. I hope my conduct becomes as a preacher's conduct. I'm glad that she could. But I'm going to tell you something. I was in a restaurant just the other day in Atlanta. And there wasn't nobody said that I was saved. I was a preacher. I wasn't anything. But when I walked out the door, I said, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I'm born again. Let me tell you something. I know what's in my heart. I know where I'm headed. You know something? A lot of times folks think they can fool people and think they can pull the wool over people's eyes, but they ain't fool nobody but themselves.
That's right.
You may fool me. You may, you may be the biggest singer, the biggest praiser, the biggest worshiper, and going out these doors doing the biggest sin that there is. And you may say, I got Bro Mike fooled. Well, who's he? I'm going to tell you something. When we line up in judgment, stand up here, Brother Ward. Stand up here, sister. Stand up, Brother Earl. Stand up here, Brother Steve. Come on, yeah, stand up here. Every one of us is going to line up right out here in the aisle. We're just going to line up. And you know, in judgment, God ain't going to look at Brother Mike and say, what do you think about this one? Now, what about this? Well, this little rascal right here. What about this fellow right here? You know him? He sold computers. You know him? Huh? What do you think about him?
Come on now.
I'll tell you what God's going to do. I'll tell you exactly what God's going to do. God's going to say, hey, you hear me? God's going to say, Roy Karakoff, I find your name in the book of life. Roy, I'm going to look through this book. And this is not a different book, Roy, but this same book I give you to live with down on earth.
Come on, Brother Mike.
I'm going to judge you by the book I've given you for years and years. Just a lot of folks don't believe that. A lot of folks are going to think God's going to look. You're a good old girl. I can tell you're a good old girl. God's going to say, look, you're a nice lady. Sharva. All that is. Huh? Come on now.
Sure.
God ain't got no computers. He can't just put C, and see what comes up. God's going to look through the Lamb's Book of Life. God's going to see if our name is written there. Y'all can sit down. Do you know what the bad thing about it is this? Listen to me. The Spirit of God will tell you through the Word of God that God is no respecter of person. This is the book, Sister Bartley. This book you've got to live by. This is the book, Sister Sherry. This book you've got to live by. This is the book, Sister Lisa. This book you've got to live by. He's not going to give Sister Ann another book and Sister Joanne another book. That would be so confusing. But this is the book. The only book. I'm glad it's the only book. Because if God had five or six books, Brother Brian, me and you might get the hard ones. Everybody else get the easy ones. And that'd be a sad story, wouldn't it? I wouldn't want to read that story. I'm going to tell you what, we're all going to be judged by the same book. You know what Jonah said he did? Listen to what Jonah did. The best part, I'm getting ready to close. The best part of it all. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again. I'm going to look again. Where's he going to look? Toward thy holy temple. God heard him. Even when he was in the midst of doing wrong and in the wrong direction, God heard him. And Jonah said, I'm going to look again. I'm going to see what's going on again here. I'm going to see what's happening again. Listen to me tonight. I want you to hear me real clear. There ain't nobody in this church believes in wholeness any more than this preacher does. There ain't nobody in this church believes in living right any more than I do. I preach it, teach it, practice it, and believe it. I walk it, talk it, and show it everywhere I go.
Come on.
But I'm going to tell you something right now. I am not going to start being a preeminent judge of everybody's life in this congregation. Oh, don't get me wrong. If you're going to live according to the teachings of the church, if you're going to be a member in this church, I got a simple theory. If you're not living according to the teachings, I'm not going to walk up to you and say, now, you sorry outfit, you dirty dog, you ain't worth a dime, you know you're doing wrong. I don't do it that way. I don't practice that kind of stuff. I may walk up and I may say, can I speak to you just for a second? Are there some things here you ain't doing right? It's my job to tell you ain't doing them right. I want you to know I love you. I love you with all my heart. These are the teachings of the Shaveville Church of God. And we live in wholeness. If you're going to walk according to those teachings, you can be on the membership book. But if you're going to continue doing what you're doing, you're going to do it. But let me pray about this thing. Seek God about it. Because God's able to help you, buddy. Let me tell you something, friend. It ain't none of our jobs to judge and to throw our hands up and slap people around and tell them how they're going to live. You ain't got no business doing that. And when you start doing that, you're stepping into an area of God that you're going to be judged harder than anybody else. 4:35, one hot July morning. I'm standing there for four solid hours and looking out into the midst of cold, pure darkness. And let me finish. And I've got a situation to handle like I'd have never handled it before, like I've never been in the midst of it before. And I can remember in my heart feeling what I want to do with this situation. How I want to do it. How I feel like it should be done. How I feel like it should be handled. I can remember out in the midst of that darkness. And I said, God, you know what I'm feeling. And you know what I'm thinking. And God, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a very, very upset person right now. And I got to have your help. All of a sudden, I heard the voice of heaven speak to me. I heard the voice of heaven speak to me. And God said, son, I want you to handle this matter like you was praying for your boy. He was thousands of miles away from you. There was nobody around him to help him. That's how I want you to handle this situation. Well, it put me in a different perspective order then. It made me really think about some things then. Humble myself. Because now I'm praying for my boy. My boy that's just a little baby. And now look at him. Stand up, Michael. He'd be 14 in July. 15. 16. 17. 18. 4 years, Brother Aaron Carton. He'll be out of daddy's wings. And so to say, I'm different than a lot of folks. I want you to know that, and I know that. And I don't expect nobody to do like I do. But when they put their feet under my table and lay their head in my beds, they're going to do what I tell them to do. Right. If they're 120. You hear me? I mean, that's just the way I am. That's the way I've been raised. That's where I am. That's the way it is. And I told the caseworkers that. And I told other people that. You know, and that's just the way it is. You're not going to do it in my house. You're not going to act that way. You're not going to wear your earring around here. You hear me? When you come through that door and you want to wear your earring, you go get you an apartment somewhere and wear it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. I mean, I raised you better than this, and now that I've got you up to an age to where you're on your own, and I don't expect everybody to do the way Brother Mike Nichols does. I want you to know that. And if you don't do the way I do, I'm not going to put you down. I'm going to look at you and say you're wrong. But I'm going to tell you, that's just the way I am.
Right.
Brother Davis, if I pay the bills, I got the right to say what goes on there.
Right.
I mean, the taxes has got my name on that bill. Yeah. Oh my, I didn't mean to get into that. That's another subject. But the thing of it is this. The order of it is this. The whole area comes down to this. Is what is that boy going to be in 4 more years? Where's he going to be? Where's he going to be at in 4 more years, Sister Diane? What's David doing right now, Sister Diane? What's he doing? Is he sleeping, Sister Diane? How many miles is he away from you tonight? 70 miles. Can you see down there in Hawking County? Can you look in that little apartment that he's in? Can you know for sure what's going on? Oh my God. I'd hope somebody, if he got in trouble, would be to him what we could be to somebody else. I don't have to compromise my standards, Sister Rhoda. I pastor this church. I want you to know something right now. I know where I'm at. I know how to preach. I know how to teach it. I get it just as tight as I want to get it and loosen it up just as loose as I want to loosen it. Amen. I know when to put it down and when to pick it up. I know where to throw it at and when to bring it back home. I ain't stupid. I ain't crazy. Amen. I laid across the bed and fasted for days for the teachings of this church. I know what I'm into and what I'm out of. I know where I'm going to and where I ain't been. Listen to me tonight, friend. I want you to know something. We better know that when we do something, that it is ordained of God. And God's hand is upon us. And if we go beyond that limit and beyond that statutation, we are taking in our own hearts things that could cost us in the near future. I know what it is. I'm not crazy. I'm not stupid. I know what the will of God is. I know what it is. These folks that like the CC world in our teachings, that's wrong to go there. And if it's wrong for you to go to Sea World, then stay away from it. But it ain't nothing no more wrong with Sea World than there is the zoo where the animals are. The only thing that we need to do is to begin to judge between what we know is God's dealing with us and what God is dealing with everybody else. Preacher come from Kentucky one time. And I don't have a TV. I don't own a TV and I don't want a TV. I mean, when God spoke to me to get rid of my television, I got rid of it, brother. I kicked it, boom, I knocked it out the door. And let me just make this statement. I don't go to my relatives and sit down and watch TV.
Hell now. Come on.
God spoke to my heart. Right here. Blow me out of the water. I said, get rid of it. I said, God, I don't watch nothing but the 6 o'clock news. He said, you don't watch that half the time. Get rid of it. Well, preacher told me some time back. He said, Brother Mike, he said, you need to put into your teachings against television because the fact of it is, you're making it hard on all the rest of us. I said, how am I doing that? He said, because if you don't have it in your teachings, a lot of people love you and follow you. And if you don't have it in your teachings, they say, well, Brother Mike Nichols don't have it in his. Why you got it in yours? I said, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. Pastor your church and let me pastor mine. Oh, I'm telling you. When I was in sin, I didn't care to look at you right now and tell you what I thought about you. Now, I prayed through on that, and God's helped me. But I want you to know this. I ain't prayed through on this. God called me to pastor Shadeville, not no place else. I'll preach it's wrong. I'll teach it's wrong. You hear me? Because there's things that you cannot sit down and you cannot tell me you can walk away with a good, wholesome attitude with it.
Come on now.
But I'll tell you until God deals with my heart as a pastor. And July 13th, we'll be voting on that residue. And if you don't want me here, you can cast me down the road. And I'll go back to Buckeye Steel and get me a job and I'll work. They told me the other day I'd come back to work if I wanted to. But how come it is? And everybody knows what's good for this church but me. Huh? How come it is? How come it is that people that don't lay for days on end and fast for days on end and ask God for days on end to touch and save and help people? I asked God the other night, God, how come every time I'm gone, people know to tell the church that they're in a bad way? How come it is? How come it is, Lord? How come it is that we can't see beyond what we want to see and how we want to see it? And I promised myself I wasn't going to say this until I got ready to leave again. I don't want nobody to ever stand up in this church while I'm gone and tell this church what bad shape it's in. Now, when I come back and you feel that way, I'll let you have the pulpit. Do it while I'm here because I want to know what's wrong. I want to see what's wrong. I've had sisters and brothers come to me and say, Brother Mike, God dealt with my heart to tell you church is in this situation right here. And I said, you know what? I praise you and I thank you for it. And I fasted and I sought God. But don't catch me gone and tell me what bad shape my church is in. You hear me? That's like me. Come here, Jennifer. Come here. Come here, man. Brian, I see some things that ain't right. Things just work out. Okay. Brian, I don't like that hairband. I'm going to wear it out for it, okay? You don't want me coming whooping your children. You don't want me beating your children to death. You don't want me thumping them and beating them and dragging them down in the dumps. I had a woman come in and tell me not long ago, Brother Mike, in Sunday school, a certain thing happened. And I tell you, my child don't need that. And I agree, your child don't need that. I'm going to tell you, my church don't need that either. We don't need to know how bad we're doing unless the pastor takes a notion and let us know. If you've been where I've been the last few days, you'd be up here trying to clean these chandeliers from the ceiling, brother. I'm telling you. If you see people sitting like knots on logs and just, you know, like they're zombies. No. I can take a lot of things, but I can't take that. Three times I've been gone. Three times I've come back. Three times I've heard what bad shape our church is in. Why can't they tell me personally? I got a rule in school. But Brian, I got a rule. If your child's doing something wrong, I don't announce it to the whole class. I talk to you as an individual. Boys, I'm sorry. We may lose folks tonight like crazy, and that's all right. I lost 37 in one service. I can stand to lose a few more. That's what it takes. I've been this weekend where you preach with a tie or you couldn't preach. And if you had a tie on, you couldn't preach. Huh? If you wore your hair up and you was a woman, you wasn't right. If you wore it down, you wasn't right. I've honored it all because I don't have to worry about the hair part. I've honored it all. But I want you to know something right now. When everybody starts telling everybody else, I'm from the assistant pastor right on down to the person that takes the grading period. We don't need everybody else telling everybody else what to do. We need Brother Mike Nichols. I feel pretty good when I said that. You need me. You hear me? I zombied back from Alabama, and you need me. You need me. It ain't everybody else's business what you're doing to you. Unless you're sinning. And when you sin, you know it's wrong. Then I'm going to take care of it. But it's my business. I asked you to come. I felt God deal with my heart. You're here. Okay? It ain't everybody's business what you're doing with them young people in that room. I asked you to take it and you've got it. It ain't everybody's business what you're doing over there. It's mine. When I get to the place where I'm so wrong that I can't take care of it, kick me out the door and get you a pastor. You need one. I'm sorry. I'm still on the will of God. Sing real quick, real slow, real low. Because I know what I'm preaching tonight is the will of God. On my way back from Alabama, the Holy Ghost spoke to me this. He said, "Have I not told you once, and I'll tell you again, that my hand is upon this people? And they that put their hand against this congregation, my hand also shall be against them." You're deacon here. You're deacon here. I want you here, man. If I didn't, I wouldn't ask you to be. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Is it time to come or is it time to go? I still feel His presence. Amen. Somebody asked me this week, "Are you worried about the preacher getting voted out?" No, that don't bother me. Because freely I come and freely I can leave. And God's with me. Amen. And if God be for me, who can be against me? No power from hell can separate me from the love of God. I walked into this thing with tears running down my face. I walked out of this thing with tears running down my face. But God's on my side. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I've had them stand up and tell me it won't work. It won't work. It is working. And it's going to keep working. And He'll work as long as this church is praying and fasting and seeking God. Yeah, we got some bad days. We got some troubled days. We've had some hard times. We've had some bad times. But bless God, the good times outnumber the bad. Let's stand all a little bit.
Rise up
where?
Rise up
in the house of God.
I'm unafraid to speak the truth.
I'm going to open these altars tonight. I'm asking you to come and pray with us.
Is going to stand within the gate,
oh God,
and make up the head of holiness and truth. People cry for peace, but there's no answer. They search for love in a world full of anger, but the only peace they'll find is in the Word of God, and the only love is found within the truth.